today as we come to the table.
I'm going to judge that God. I will destroy that God. And the thing that you're trying so hard to preserve, oh, don't hurt the trees, oh, don't hurt the water, don't hurt the environment. He says, I'm going to wipe it out. I'm going to make it uninhabitable. I'm going to burn the trees up. I'm going to pollute your air. We'll see that in just a moment. I'm going to soil the oceans and all your waters where you don't even have drinking water. You love that so much. You want to put that before me. That's your focus, and you want to make that better than everything. He says, you know, you're going to worship animals even above your babies. And we talked about that on Sunday. I'm going to judge it. I'm going to remove the obstacles that are keeping you from looking where you're supposed to look, which is not at nature or the earth, but me, God would say.
Ever tried to teach a teenager to drive or to do anything that requires focus? You may have ended up taking their phone away so they would stop looking at it and pay attention. Sometimes the only way to get someone to focus is to completely remove anything that could potentially be a distraction. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will explain today, sometimes God has to take things away from you so you will focus back on Him. You may not even realize you've lost your focus. Or you may think by focusing on nature or something else you are honoring God. But it's possible to focus too much on things that aren't God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 8 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now, once again, when we get in the last days, we're going to see God once again judging nature. Why? Not just because it's man's sustenance, not just because it's man's, you know, delight as far as beauty. Because man, by then and even now, is beginning to worship nature once again. See, back in the days of the judgments of God, in the Old Testament, there in Egypt, they were worshiping nature. They were worshiping the stars, the sun, the moons, the trees. They worshiped nature, and they had gods for all these different things. Now, we're way too sophisticated today to have gods, you know, to worship trees. We just hug them. Or gods to worship the stars or whatever it is. But guys, mankind is doing the same thing that man did back then. And God tells us in Romans chapter 1, when mankind rejects the true God, they begin to worship what he created rather than him. And I believe that is what is pushing this environmental movement that we're seeing in our day. Now, when I say that, don't you want to take care of them? Of course, we need to be stewards of what God has given us. But the Bible says that God gave us trees and the ocean and nature to show his glory. And when we begin to take the thing that is supposed to show his glory and we begin to worship it, and rather than having God Day, we have Earth Day. God says, I'll remove that God. I'm going to judge that God. I will destroy that God. And the thing that you're trying so hard to preserve, oh, don't hurt the trees. Oh, don't hurt the water. Don't hurt the environment. He says, I'm going to wipe it out. I'm going to make it uninhabitable. I'm going to burn the trees up. I'm going to pollute your air. We'll see that in just a moment. I'm going to soil the oceans and all your waters where you don't even have drinking water. You love that so much. You want to put that before me. That's your focus, and you want to make that better than everything. He says, you know, you're going to worship animals even above your babies. And we talked about that on Sunday. I'm going to judge it. I'm going to remove the obstacles that are keeping you from looking where you're supposed to look, which is not at nature or the earth, but me, God would say. And so now it begins. A third of all the trees burned up. All the green grass is gone. Can you imagine what it's going to look like on the earth with no green grass? And a third of the trees on the earth now burned up. That's the first trumpet. Now we see the angel standing there, and notice this. Then the second angel blows his trumpet. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Now, it's interesting remember, the prophets were doing the best they could, and John was doing the best he could to describe what he was seeing. And oftentimes they'll say it was like this, or it kind of resembled that, because they've never seen it. He didn't know how to describe it. And yet, isn't it interesting that one of the concerns in the scientific community today is asteroids striking the Earth? Large meteors or asteroids. As a matter of fact, from the one that struck there right outside of Flagstaff, Arizona, many people believe that that could have literally spun the Earth around. It's such a large crater that it could have actually had an axis shift on something that big hitting the Earth. And what it would appear we're seeing here, and it's interesting to me to see these articles where we have NASA actually working with our leaders in Washington with nuclear weapons. They're actually working about how we could shoot them down. If we know one's coming to the Earth, they literally have a plan to shoot nuclear weapons up, try to stop these things before they hit the Earth. Because scientists are saying we're getting more and more close passes. And when you watch the news, one came by very close. And of course, they'll name how far away it is, and it seems really far. But it's not that far when you're talking, you know, the distance of the Earth and something shifting just a little bit and striking the Earth. It's a big deal. Now, the reason it hasn't happened up to this point and that man's not been wiped out is because God has not allowed it to happen. But remember, during this time, God is removing his hand of protection from the Earth. And I believe what we're seeing here with this second trumpet is probably an asteroid flying in and striking the oceans. Now, can you imagine an asteroid striking the ocean? Listen, an earthquake in the ocean sends tsunami walls of water going 500 miles an hour across the ocean until they strike land, you know, with these huge walls of water. If you saw the picture, something like 30-foot wall of water in that one that came in and struck, you know, recently, and they were showing pictures of it. And I remember seeing this little, some man down there, and he's standing down there from a distance. Who's filming this? I don't know. But you saw this wall of water coming some 30 feet high, and he just looks at it and it just keeps going. And you realize there's no way he ever lived. The last thing he saw was this giant wall of water. You know, it's interesting. Scientists say that something like this, if an asteroid hit the ocean, you're talking probably at least 200-foot waves. Imagine 200-foot waves, how high that would be. And imagine even if it came in on either coast of our United States. How many states in would that go? How far would it go? How many miles in would it go before it stopped? I don't know. But the wall of water would just be amazingly fearful. You would realize there's no hope. You know, it's interesting. I had a dream this week about a giant wall of water, about somewhere around 200 feet tall, striking the United States. And that's before I did this study. And I'm like, it was a horrible. I was like, there, I saw this thing coming. I'm like, okay, this is it. I mean, I wasn't scared about what was going to happen. I knew I was going to go to heaven. But I'm having this dream of this giant, maybe because I was at the ocean, I don't know. But this giant wall of water coming in, just, and I realize every one of us for so many miles in, we're all going to drown. There is no hope. You can't get beyond. It was amazingly high and just the whole, as far as you could see. That's what scientists say it would be like if an asteroid struck the ocean in whatever area of land it hit. This is what's going to happen. Now you know why it says men's hearts will fail them from fear of the things coming upon the earth. And so here comes this great wall coming in of water. A third of the sea became blood. Now again, it doesn't have to be literal blood, as in it all became blood, but stirred up with the blood of animals, the blood of mankind that are on the water, as well as the dirt and all that was stirred up. No doubt it's going to be a blood color with blood mingled in that. As a third of the sea is destroyed, now we saw God strike nature in the trees, and now God strikes nature in the ocean. And it says, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So what sea is it talking about? I don't know for sure. But one of the seas will be struck, and this is going to happen. Now let me encourage you guys, if you're saying, because by the time the Lord is done with the earth, it is completely destroyed. The air is totally polluted, the trees are all burned up, the oceans are ruined, all the streams, can't even drink any water anymore by the time the Lord's done. However, what's really cool, when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of this 7 years, the Bible says when he establishes his throne there in Jerusalem, that from the south side of the throne, a fresh spring of water is going to come out from the earth. It's going to be no doubt supernaturally touched by God. It would have to be. It's going to flow down toward, hit the Jordan, and go on down to the Dead Sea. The Bible says the Dead Sea will spring to life and be a major fishing port during the 1,000-year reign. And then it says it's going to go the other direction, hit the Mediterranean, and the seas, the oceans of the world will be restored to the pristine state of Adam and Eve's day. In other words, the earth is going to be beautiful. The oceans are going to sparkle. It says that the deserts will spring to life, and he literally, the Bible tells us, is going to destroy everything. He's going to take mankind's gods out of the way. Stop worshiping the earth. Stop it. Look to me. He's going to completely wipe out their gods. And then he's going to restore everything for those who believe and enter the kingdom of God. And the entire earth is going to be like it was with Adam and Eve before the fall. That's going to be amazing. So, lest you despair over the ruined oceans, they're coming back. And they're going to be better than ever. And so it's exciting to see what God's going to do. But at this point, it's not very exciting, at least for the people on the earth. And it's going to be devastating. That's just two trumpets. Told you he was turning up the heat, didn't I? Look at trumpet number 3. Verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. Here comes another asteroid, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. So the first one strikes the oceans and causes these huge tsunamis and death around the earth. This one strikes the land, but it pollutes the springs of water in whatever region this is due to the poisonous nature of this asteroid or whatever it is that strikes the earth here. And it says it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of the water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Wormwood just really means, you know, basically poisoned or polluted, undrinkable. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And wormwood, again, bitter is included there in that meaning. It just means poisonous or undrinkable. So a man will not be able to get his water and have all that. And so many are going to die just from starvation and from the water they drink when that one strikes. Now we come to the fourth trumpet. Since then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Now the actual sun, moon, and stars were not hit. The earth is hit. But it's the darkening and the polluting of the atmosphere now that blocks a third of the sunlight, a third of the moonlight, a third of the starlight. Now, again, from the asteroids striking the earth, from the upheavals of volcanoes and all that's going on, it's going to pollute the atmosphere. Again, the breathing air is going to be very, very polluted as well. And there's going to be a density as you're looking through just to see what's there. Like I said, a third of it is going to be dimmed. But you talk about destroying crops. Listen, if the earth is getting hotter, praise the Lord, because it needs to get a lot hotter for people to survive through this, because it's going to get cool really fast. Because when this happens, it's going to douse the sun. It's going to douse the heat that's coming into the earth, and crops and those things, they won't be able to grow. It's going to cool the temperature of the earth. According to scientists, this kind of thing would cool the temperature of the earth so much, even getting anything to grow. Nothing pretty much outdoor would grow. You may be able to do something in a greenhouse, so to speak. But all the dust in the air and the particles and all this probably from the asteroid striking and the other volcanoes and things that will be taking place, which would be happening as the earth is in upheaval, is going to block this out. And it's going to be dark early and dark most of the day, even with only two-thirds of the sun making it through. He says, and I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven with a loud voice saying, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because of the remaining blast. He's not saying, whoa, 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 because of what just happened. He's saying, that's nothing. This is just warming up. It's really going to get bad now. And notice he gives a woe for each remaining trumpet. There's three trumpets to go. And this angel goes, whoa, 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 three trumpets to go. You know, he doesn't say that. I threw that last part in. But the bottom line is, he's pronouncing that this is going to get way worse for the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Wow. Now you know why there was somberness in heaven. Now you know why everything stopped for 30 minutes and everybody just stood there going, oh my. Can you imagine those of us realizing our family members? They're still there. They thought I was a nut. Here we go. Chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded. And this is a different star. And I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. Notice past tense. It had already fallen. This is not something falling now. It's a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now Satan comes in the picture. Now you know why he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's bad enough when God is bringing in chastisement and judgments on the earth, but now he's releasing and unleashing Satan to bring his hatred and evil on mankind as well. Remember, Jesus said, speaking of Satan, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. I mean, God threw him out, just boom, he was done. Cast him to the earth, and that's where he is now. But remember, right now he's being restrained. God is restraining him, not letting him do everything he wants to do. You think this earth is bad right now? If God unrestrained Satan right now, it would look like the Great Tribulation. Now, of course, it would be not quite as bad because God's wrath is much greater than Satan could do. But the only reason it's not total havoc right now and chaos is because Satan is restrained. He would love to kill us right now. And we know that he has to ask permission of God before he can do anything. We see that in the book of Job. And even when God allowed him, after making a request for Job, God limited him. And I'm thankful for that. You know, you can do this and go no farther. But now we're going to see that Satan, the one that has already been thrown to the earth here, is going to start wreaking havoc. And by the way, the angels in Scripture are also referred to as stars. We see in the book of Job, it says that the stars sang and rejoiced with God at creation, speaking of the angels. And here the angel Satan is referred to as a star, fallen from heaven. And notice, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. You know what's interesting? The only thing that can be bottomless is the center of something round, because there's no bottom to that. You can't have a bottom if you're in the middle of something. And again, the center of the earth, which is where the Bible says some of the fallen angels are being held, and also Hades is there, would be a bottomless pit. That is the description of a bottomless pit, the very center of a planet, the very center of the earth, something that has no bottom. It's round, if you will. And some even say, and I'm not, I don't know the science on this. You can look it up. Some even say that if you were being the center of the earth, you could just kind of keep falling and never hit anything because of the gravity and the way it rotates and goes around. I don't know that. I've heard that from others who say they've looked into that scientifically. You can have fun doing that and then come and correct me later. But either way, whether that's true or not, that would be a bottomless pit. Now, why is that interesting? Because we're going to see later on there's this hole to the center of the earth. Wouldn't you like to know where that is? It'd be kind of freaky, because I would try to go see it, but that'd be scary. Somewhere there's a hole to the center of the earth, the Bible tells us. We're going to see that in a minute. And the Lord's going to allow Satan to open that, and these fallen angels that are in there, we'll explain that a little bit more when we get to that, they're going to come out of that hole. And they're going to also be wreaking havoc during the Great Tribulation. Aren't you glad the rapture is going to happen first? Is anybody with me on that? You know, I know I say this over and over. Oh, you just want to escape. Yeah, I do. I have no problem saying that. But again, they were given the key to the bottomless pit, which is the center of the earth. And we're going to see who's down there in a moment. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit, this hole that goes down to the center of the earth, like the smoke of a great furnace. It's probably a volcano. I don't know for sure, but it's going to be that type of thing. Now that going to the center of the earth, and of course the lava would make sense, going down to the heat, the lower parts of the earth, and then all this smoke billowing out, so it could be possibly that. But it's like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And again, when volcanoes happen, it does that. This is going to be a great releasing of pressure and of smoke and on all these demons either way. And even before we get to verse 3, I'll share with you a little bit about the fallen angels. Mark, what do you mean fallen angels? Something happened, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter, that part of the fallen angels, remember, a third of the angels fell. Two-thirds didn't. A third of the angels fell, and they're what we call today demons. And among those demons, those third of those fallen angels, the demonic realm, there was a portion of them that did something so bad that God locked them up early. And it tells us in 2 Peter that God took this group of angels that did something so bad, worse than even the other demons. I mean, you already had these demons, right? Then you've got hell's angels, right? Greater demons. I better be careful on that. And they get locked up, right? And they're in a place the Bible calls Tartarus. It says it's in the center of the earth. If you look it up in 2 Peter, you'll find the word hell or Hades. I don't have the verse and chapter for you. You have to look it up on your own because I'm going on memory on this. But the literal word there in the Greek is Tartarus, T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S. And it says he grabs that group of angels and locks them up early down there. This would appear to be now the releasing of this group of demons that have fallen. Now, If they were already so angry and so mad and so evil that they were doing all this stuff before they were locked up, what do you think they're... See, they're locked up down there right now, the Bible tells us. What do you think they're going to be like when they get out? Talk about madder than a wet hornet. Remember that phrase? But you know, if you get those guys mad, you don't kill them, you got real problems. So you need to make sure that you really, you know, effectively do that. These guys are down there locked up, and they've got a sting we're going to see here in just a minute. When they get out, they're going to be furious, and they're going to be given permission by the Lord to bring great pain on mankind. God's not going to let them kill mankind, but he's going to let them bring great pain on mankind. And that is what we're going to see here. It's going to talk about locusts. You're going to see these are not normal locusts. We're talking about the demonic realm here, and that'll bear out as we get into it. Look at verse 3. It says, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and again, probably referred to as locusts by the way they looked and also by their destructive capability in the Middle East. That's a very destructive insect. They came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. There are certain words that God uses throughout Scripture to describe certain things. Scorpions is one of the words that God assigns to the demonic realm. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, I have given you power to trample on scorpions. He's not talking about a regular scorpion. Without Jesus, we all have the power. An unbeliever has the power to trample on a scorpion. No, he was talking about something supernatural. He's saying, I've given you authority over the demonic realm. You'll have the power over scorpions. And now we see the Holy Spirit showing us in mentioning the scorpions here, he's talking about this demonic realm that's now being released from the center of the earth, probably those that are locked up in Tartarus for whatever they did. Again, the answer may be back in Genesis 6, and you can read that on your own. But either way, now they're released on the earth. And notice they were... Listen, the power of scorpions. Let's go on. I'll come back to that. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. So apparently there's still some grass that has now grown back to some degree. Something's happened. Or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. In more than one place in Scripture, God talks about marking the believers with his mark. In the Old Testament, God sent the angels out to put his mark on the believers in Jerusalem before he judged it. Now we see God sending the angels to go and mark. And earlier we saw this. They went out and sealed them earlier in Revelation, and they put a mark on the forehead. I believe that each of us have some kind of supernatural mark of God. We have something that shows God in the demonic realm we belong to him. I think that's really cool. But why would Satan do the same thing? Because remember, Satan is a great imitator. Everything that God does, Satan tries to imitate. Even as God has Father, Son, Holy Spirit during the Great Tribulation, or rather during the end times here in this whole scene, Satan is going to have Father, Son, Unholy Spirit. Himself, he's going to take the position of God, which he always wanted to be. The Antichrist will take the position of the Savior of the world, or the Son. And then the false prophet is going to be that picture of the Holy Spirit, but it'll be the unholy spirit. So even as we have a Holy Trinity, we have an unholy Trinity. Even as we had the forehead marked by God with believers, we also have the forehead that Satan will mark on unbelievers with his mark, showing they belong to him.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through Revelation, and there's much to gain from this final book of the Bible. Yes, this book details much death, destruction, and judgment. But once the air clears, what's the end result? Jesus is coming back to make all things new, to restore everything that's become corrupted and stained by sin. Isn't that what everyone wants when they think hard about it? If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. That way, you can stay up on these Revelation messages no matter where you are in the world. Are you interested in getting in touch with us? If so, we have just the thing. Our number is 865-609-1385. If you're trying to remember that number, we have it for you again. It's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or even ask for prayer. We value connecting with our listeners and hearing how God is interceding in their lives through these messages, through prayer, and through God's Word and His people. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching in Revelation here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.